Welcome to Dark Corners with David Allan Voiles. Dark Corners is brought to you by Gestalt Media, an independent publishing company dedicated to serving independent authors. One More Offering by David Allan Voiles. In the gloom, a small figure stands within the shadows of the trees. It stands so still it's almost invisible there in the darkness, but he knows it's her. His heart pounds. His breath is all that he hears in the still woods. She waits for him to move, to turn his back, and every time he does, when he looks back, somehow she is closer. She stands motionless, looking at the ground, her face hidden. She raises her head, and he sees only the whites of her eyes glowing through the darkness. The moon comes out from behind a cloud and shines just enough for him to make out the overgrown path that runs through the brambles, enough to avoid tripping over a root or a stone in the path. Still, he's afraid he will not make it to his cabin before she overtakes him. He breaks into a run, not caring about the sharp branches and thorny vines that whip his face and arms. In addition to the pounding of his boots as they crush dried leaves and small sticks on the path, he hears the soft, faster footfalls of small, bare feet running behind him. Clouds cover the moon, and he is in darkness again. Yet he dares not slow down. He continues to run, thrashing his arms to swat the vines and branches from his face. He moans and wails even as he gasps for breath. The moon breaks out again, revealing the silhouette of the cabin ahead of him. He runs even harder and breaks into the small clearing and flings himself at the door, smashing his shoulder into it as he works the latch and stumbles inside. He slams the door shut and feels a thud hitting the other side. He throws the bolt and leans back against the door. His legs give out and he slides down and crashes onto the wooden floor. Silence. And then a little girl's giggle, which drops in pitch to become a deep, low laugh. Another doll lies partially buried in the heap of garbage. It is nothing special, cheaply made. The face, like a thousand other dolls, all made on the same assembly line in a single day. One eye is missing. The pink plastic skin is covered in splotches of gray grime from years of neglect. He snatches it by the arm and pulls it free from the wet muck of coffee grounds, remnants of rotten vegetables, slimy wrappers, bottles, and plastic containers that he scoops out of the way. He throws it in a burlap sack with the others and works his way back to the dirt road. His shirt sticks to his back, and his feet kick up clouds of dust. His mind is blank. A quiet hiss, a high-pitched electronic whine that's always there, fills his head. He plods along with his eyes fixed on a small hill on the horizon that marks the point where he will leave the road. He hears the loose gravel rolling under his boots with each step until the rumble of a rusty pickup truck behind him drowns out all other noise. It passes, and two dark-haired men riding on the edges of the open bed facing each other turn to stare at him. Their denim work shirts are stained with sweat and red Carolina clay. Unsmiling, one raises his hand in a half wave. The walker ignores the cloud of dust that envelops him and trudges on. At the top of the hill, a path breaks the line of woods along the right side of the road. He veers off and follows it, appreciating the immediate coolness of the shade. The air is still. No birds sing. No insects buzz. He remembers how pleasant it once was to walk this path and see abundant wildlife. It was rare then not to hear the shrill call of a pileated woodpecker as it streaked through the woods, or to see a fox, maybe even a bobcat, along this trail. Now, not even gnats are present. He trudges the familiar route until he sees the first one and stops. It hangs suspended from a branch with its tiny arms held out as if it's flying. Its eyes are open and it grins at him. He walks again and makes the turn in the path. Another one is impaled on a branch, its face cast down to gaze upon the ground, its once white dress now stained with dark gray mold matching the grime on its arms, legs, and face. The path turns again. Hundreds of dolls hang on either side of the path. Some have hair in all their limbs. Most do not. Some are tied to limbs and small trunks of trees. Others hang by wires like so many tortured amputees, a grim tribute to a merciless god. More dolls decorate every available space on the walls of the small cabin that now comes into view. He walks towards it, setting the hanging dolls along the path into motion as he brushes past them. They swing like tiny victims on this unholiest of gallows, and he is reminded of his great-grandfather who was lynched not far from this spot. He drops the sack on the wooden floor of the porch and rummages inside it until he finds a can amidst the tangle of doll arms and bodies. He enters the house and sets the can on the small table. The wood stove is cold, its fire out long ago. He pulls a can opener from the drawer, jerking it free when it sticks. The sound of each violent crank of the key echoes in the bare kitchen. Cockroaches scurry when he tosses the lid into the filthy sink beside a small bowl. The brown remains of a meal from several days ago are crusted on a circle of pink roses that decorate the rim. He takes the spoon from the bowl and wipes it on his shirt tail and carries the can outside on the porch, where he stares out at the woods as he digs out a spoonful of colorless beans. Sitting on the edge of the small porch with his feet on the warped steps, he stares into the silent woods as he eats. That constant hiss in his head throughout all his waking hours grows louder each time he clenches his jaw to chew, so much so that he fears that he might not be able to hear any real sounds should they happen. He watches the woods as he eats, searching for movement, but there is none. There never is, but still he watches for that moment when she might appear in daylight, even though that has never happened. When he has scraped the last bit of smashed beans from the can, he stands and throws it out into the once immaculate yard and sets the spoon on the splintered porch rail. He picks up the bag of dolls and walks down the steps to resume his task. He turns east this time, where he picks up the path again, his cabin being the only thing that interrupts its run from the highway to the river. Again, he brushes against dolls that hang from the boughs along the path at various heights. No breeze stirs in these woods, and yet they turn to look at him as he approaches. Even those who peer with darkened sockets where eyes used to be. The woods grow thicker and the air more humid. Before long, he's standing at the banks of a black stream. Trees grow out of the still, dark water at crazy angles, and even here there's no sound but the constant whine in his head. The path cuts south, and he follows it to a place where a rocky beach makes easy access to the water. He drops the bag and takes out a cord from which he has cut a number of lengths, one for each doll in the sack. He steps into the river without pausing to remove his boots and heads for the long, curved branch that reaches out over the river. Making a noose for each doll, he hangs them one by one from the limb. One slips from his grasp before he can secure it to the limb. It splashes into the water, and rather than floating, it immediately begins to sink, its haunting, cherubic face glowing under the dark, tannic water as if it were submerged in tea. He grasps for it in panic, the image conjuring up a memory that makes him moan as he snatches for the doll, barely keeping himself upright. He regains his balance and suspends this last doll from the limb. He returns to the shore and sits with his back against a stump, not caring that its bark scrapes against his back or that his wet clothes now stick to his skin. And he stares at the spot in the water beneath the dolls, remembering.
Look, Poppy!
The little girl holds her doll by one arm and points at the water and squeals in delight.
A fish, Poppy! A fish!
A large trout circles where small insects skate across the surface.
Mm-hmm. Good, darling. That's good, the man says, lying back against the tree without even opening his eyes. There's lots of fish in this river.
He pulls his broad-brimmed hat further down across his eyes and exhales through his nose.
I'm gonna feed the fishy, Poppy.
She plucks a handful of grass from the shore and walks to the water's edge and throws the blades out over the water. A breeze catches them and blows them back. She frowns until she spies a patch of dandelions growing up higher on the incline just under a tree that has one long bough that curves out low over the water. Still grasping her doll, she climbs up the gentle incline and picks a dandelion and throws it out onto the water. The trout senses its sudden appearance and investigates, but then moves away from it without interest. Seeing that the dandelion had at least lured the fish for a second, the girl picks another flower, but the trout has moved on now, further from the bank. She throws the flower as hard as she can, but in doing so, she loses her grip on the doll, and it tumbles down the incline into the water where the current immediately pulls it out midstream.
Poppy! My dolly! She screams.
The man stirs and slowly sits up and sees the little girl scrambling toward him.
My dolly's in the river, Poppy! Get my dolly!
He pushes his hat back and rubs his eyes. The girl takes her father by the hand, pulling him as she urges him to get up.
Hurry, Poppy! Get my dolly!
They walk to the river's edge and peer downstream.
There it is, Poppy!
She points to a speck of white that's now far down the river.
I'm so sorry, darling, but there's nothing I can do about that now.
But you've got to get her, Poppy!
Tears are streaming faster down her dark, chubby cheeks.
You've got to get her!
There's no way I can get it, Sunshine. It's already too far down the river.
Will she end up on the shore sometime?
The girl's large brown eyes bore into her father's.
Well, I suppose it might, but there's no way of knowing now. I can't even see where it is anymore.
I bet I could see from that tree limb.
She starts to climb back up the incline.
Come on, darling. We need to go home. We can take a walk tomorrow and see if it washed up on shore. But it's going to get dark soon and we need to get back home. Your mama's going to skin us both alive as it is for how long we've been gone.
But Poppy...
Come on, sugar, let's go.
He takes her by the hand and they walk back up the path and disappear into the woods. The sun sets and darkness falls. The cicada's rhythmic call bounces back and forth across the river. The moon rises and casts its reflection on the water, its rippling image broken by the shadow of the long tree limb that curves out over the water. A small figure in white appears from the path and makes its way to the tree. With great effort, she pulls herself up on the low-lying limb. She crawls along until she's over the water and peers downstream. The little girl turns her head towards the woods and her father's call.
Sadie, where are you?
She turns back and crawls further out on the limb. She peers again downriver, her little face frowning in concentration.
Sadie, answer me!
The voice is closer now and Sadie turns back towards it once again. Her bare foot slips, her small hands fail to grasp the limb, and she falls.
Sadie!
The man's voice cries out from the woods, but within seconds he stands along the riverbank, scanning the water. He gazes for a second at the limb that grows above the river, and then plunges into the river under the limb, thrusting his arms wildly into the water in all directions. After this frantic search, he stops and peers at the surface of the water downstream. Moonlight illuminates a patch of white far away, and he dives towards it. From time to time, he disappears under the water and then surfaces again, his head turning from side to side as he searches, only to dive under again. He surfaces, stands still, and scans the river.
Sadie!
He screams, the echo mocking as it bounces back. And then, just a whisper. Sadie. He stares at the river, suddenly aware by the reflection of the moon that night has fallen. Horror crawls up his spine and across his shoulders. How long I've been sitting here. But then, that's what I came for, isn't it? To see you again? That's why I put out that first doll. To say I'm sorry. To say I love you. To say, please, come back. And when you didn't come, I put out another one. And then another. And another. Your mama didn't understand. She begged me not to do it. But she wasn't there when you begged me to get your dolly. She wasn't there to hear you splash into the river, to be so close to saving you and yet to lose you anyway. She never forgave me. She wasted away. It killed her. And then, I was all alone. What's that? There's something moving in the water. There's something bad out here, Sadie. Something evil. Something that thrives on fear and lives on wickedness. How else could a sweet little child like you ever be taken in such a way? I don't know if these dolls are to beg you to come back or to keep it away. There, under the tree limb, standing in the water. I see you. Why won't you look at me, Sadie? Is it you or... You're moving towards me, but the water flows straight through you. Oh, God, please let it be you, Sadie. I won't run this time. I promise. Why won't you look at me? Why must you look down? Look at me, Sadie. Please look at me. Oh, God. Those eyes. The sun rises and sparkles on the ripples of the river. The loud repeating chirp of a cardinal rings out through the trees as its brilliant red form darts from branch to branch along the shore. One squirrel chases another in a spiral up the trunk of an oak. The dangling corpse, its worn boots just inches above the water, turns slowly as it hangs suspended from the long, curving branch that grows out over the water. That concludes this episode of Dark Corners with David Allan Voiles. To find other works by this author and keep up with all his projects, please visit his official author website, davidallanvoiles.com. Hope to meet you again soon in the Dark Corners.